Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon. On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
It's 1:33 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer with you, along with Brendan Escott. You're listening to Oilers Now. We're going to head off to the River Cree Resort Casino hotline right now and be joined by Edmonton sporting icon, Montreal-based media personality, former Oiler George LaRocque joins us. Hello, George. How you doing?
Very good, Bob. How's everything?
Not bad. I thought yesterday's game was kind of tough to gauge a little bit. I mean, the Canadiens had $55 million out of the lineup, which is a lot. And I'm going to ask you, I mean, how tough are those games to play in? When either you know your team's in the playoffs and the other team are playing a bunch of kids, or conversely, you're on the team that's got a bunch of kids, and, you know, just take us through that. I mean, is that a challenge for guys?
Well, it was because, Deshaun said before the day before the game that they were going to watch the Jets game. And if the Jets would have lost to the Canucks, then he would have dressed a better team to try to win the game, but because they were still hoping to pass the Jets. But when they lost, that game didn't mean anything. And since there's so much injuries in Canadian lineup, that for them, you know, the best thing was to rest guys as much as they can, because Toronto was an advantage, because a lot of guys in Montreal are hurt right now. They're going to be starting the playoff playing hurt. And against a strong team like Toronto, it's going to be very tough in that first round. So that game, you know, yesterday, there's a lot of guys, that young guys that were playing and stuff. But again, you know, it's tough to gauge. Like, for example, we saw how good Suzuki and Caulfield clicked together. But again, you look at the Oilers. When you see McDavid playing just 15 minutes, shows you how this game, even for Edmonton, is a game that Edmonton played okay. But, you know, again, it's a game that didn't mean anything to them. But since they weren't going to play till next week. Well, you have one more game left, I think. You know, you want to get prepared before playoffs, so you don't want to get too be rusty before it starts. So I understood. And, you know, obviously the best players, they want to play anyway. They don't want games off, right? But, you know, at least no one got hurt in no game, because once playoffs start to come, man, it's going to be very physical.
I want to just get your thoughts on how many of the Canadiens players do they expect back for the start of the Toronto series?
They're all going to be back, but, you know, Anderson is not 100%. Toffoli is not 100%. Weber is not 100%. He's hurt at his end. He can't shoot. Gallagher is going to be back, but obviously he might be close to 100%, but not, you know, his hand again, and he got hurt. Dano is going to come back from a concussion. Price is going to come back from a concussion, but Price doesn't play for like over a month. Man, there's so many. Eric Staal is hurt, but for the team, it's probably good news, because, you know, that guy hasn't done much. Like, other than the first goal he scored against Edmonton, his first game, he's been totally invincible. He's been really, really, really bad, and everybody's wondering why he's still playing. You know, it's crazy, because 16 years ago, Bobby won the cup against us, Game 7 in Carolina. Yeah. 16 years ago. In the NHL that is faster today, what is he doing in the lineup 16 years later? Like, clearly he cannot follow the play. It's too fast for him. He had a great career, but, you know, like, Bergeron didn't give much to get him, which is a good thing. But, yeah, he's been slowing down a lot. And when they put Caulfield with him and Perry, Caulfield would enter the offensive zone on his own all the time, because they couldn't follow him, man, and it was tough for him.
The line that did play well for the Canadiens the last two games was Evans with Lehkonen, and they got Paul Byron back. And, I mean, those guys can all skate. I mean, Byron's a quick forward. Evans did a real good two-way job. He hadn't scored in 40 games before he got the goal against the Oilers on Monday night. That could turn out to be a useful fourth line for Montreal, couldn't it be?
Well, yeah, they might do that. But again, there's so many guys coming back. Where are you going to put Armia? When are you going to put, like, obviously Gallagher is going to go with Tatar and Dano. But, you know, with all the guys that are coming back, I hope they're not going to bring. But, you know, the biggest worry for everyone is actually Staal. Because this line will stay together if Staal is out of the lineup. And that's the thing. That guy cannot play. And even though Kotkaniemi has been invincible also, because he hasn't been playing good at all also, but, you know, Kotkaniemi is your future, so you got to prioritize him over Staal. So if Staal is out and they have the guts to put him out, because, you know, they keep talking about the experience that Rick Staal brings. And you know what? I love what Mark Messier says about the experience. Guys with leadership and experience. You know what? If he has leadership and experience in the dressing room, well, he could stay in the dressing room with his leadership and experience, and we're going to get the Warriors out there to go out there and help us win, and they could give a tap in the back of the guy before they go on the ice. Here's where your leadership should be. Because on the ice, man, there's nothing. He has nothing left in the tank. He's a great guy, but he's not helping the team win.
George Laroque joining us. George, last year Montreal was a huge underdog against Pittsburgh. They're probably going to be a somewhat... I'm here to tell you right now, I think the Canadiens can beat the Leafs. Anything can happen in the playoffs. We saw it last year. Pittsburgh, you know, a real good team, fifth in their division. And they were a legitimate fifth, and Montreal was a legitimate 12th. Like, there was only an 11-point separation or 12 points between Edmonton and Chicago. And Chicago had three, you know, has three Hall of Fame players between Toews, Kane, and Keith. And the two teams ended up getting equal goaltending, and Chicago won the series. 2-1 goal games. The series between Montreal and Pittsburgh was not as close as the Edmonton-Chicago series. And part of the reason why, well, you said what could happen with Matt Murray. Part of it was goaltending. I'm going to circle back to Carey Price. Carey Price is going to be rested. Is he going to be any good since he hasn't played in a month?
The thing is, and what worries everyone, is he hasn't played well this year to start. And second of all, he hasn't played in a while. And now, I thought he was going to play at least, you know, one or maybe two games against the Oilers, like, to get back into action. Now he's getting back into action against Marner and Matthews as his first game back. It's going to be very, very tough on him and stuff. And the biggest thing for Montreal is the guys that are playing hurt. That's also another thing. I agree with you that if Montreal, everybody was healthy, because, you know, right now, the big question, who's going to be net for Toronto, Anderson or Campbell? Anderson is terrible. He is so bad that in the summer, they tried to do everything to trade him. They couldn't, and now he's back with the team. That's the only reason why he's there. And Campbell is okay, but, you know, not best goalie, but still, that's the guy that, you know, with his little streak that he had this year of 11 wins in a row and stuff, that's the guy that would have in net. But, again, with, you know, it's going to be Nash that's going to be back. Nash is back. Foligno is back. Like, all these guys, like, the best guys on that team, the characters on that team. And they know, the thing with Toronto is that, you know, the Fab Four, and I'm talking about Marner, Nylander, Matthews, and Tavares, they're going to split them if they don't win this year. And they don't want to be split. So when you're looking at that, that's the last chance that they could keep those guys together. And if they underachieve again, you force your GM to make some change. So Toronto, if the pressure is on them. And because they're playing a Montreal team that is hurt, that's why I don't see any problem to Toronto to breeze by Montreal because of that, because Montreal is hurt. And the best, you know who's the best player for Montreal against Toronto every time? You know who he is?
Who's that?
Anderson. Anderson has been a killer against the Leafs. The way he plays with his big bodies going to the net. But now he's playing hurt. He doesn't go to the net as much. He's lost some of his speed because of the fact that he's hurt. And that, for Toronto, is big news because, you know, that guy is unbelievable. I can't believe he only had one goal last year, because so far in what he's doing is incredible.
George, I'm going to tell you right now, you talked about Matthews, Marner, Tavares. I mean, that's three guys, 50-plus points. Nylander at 42 points. They're getting broken up no matter what at the end of the season, because they're going to – Zach Hyman is going to get more than $5 million a year. at more than five. He'll get 5 years and at least $5 million on a deal. And in order to sign him, they're going to move out Nylander. They're going to have to because Hyman's a more impactful player. He drives things. He's a terrific player.
Zach Hyman.
Gallagher. He's like Gallagher. And for the listeners out there, right now, for Team Canada, okay, Zach Hyman is in the mix to be on Team Canada. That's how far, and I mean, for years, Mike Babcock used to talk about how good this guy is, and I know not everybody likes Mike Babcock. Well, this season, Zach Hyman drove things for the Maple Leafs when he was in the lineup, and he is going to, my prediction is Zach Hyman is going to end up playing for Team Canada in the 2022 Olympics, so we'll wait and see what ends up transpiring there. I'd like to get your thoughts on the Oilers, George. Do you think Edmonton's a good team? A really good team, a great team. Where do you think they're at? I mean, George, they got the third best record in the NHL since January 30th. And people say, well, okay, wait a second. That's over 46 games, George. The Oilers are 32-12-2 in their last 46 games. That's basically 7/8 of the regular season. The only two teams in the league with a better record than Edmonton since that time are Vegas and Colorado, and they got all those Cali teams in the Pacific Division that really Vegas went 21-3 against the three California teams this year. So Edmonton's got the third best record in the league since the start of February. Do you think they're good? Do you think they're very good, or do you think they're a great team? What do you think?
Well, the Oilers are a really good team. They only have one problem, and as I told you that before, it's a net. I know Smith has done better than we might expect it this year, and I'm not even going to talk about Koskinen with his four-shot, four-goal game that he got, and he gave a couple gifts when he played Montreal. So obviously Smith's going to be the starting goalie in a playoff, and I don't know what the others are going to do when it's going to be back-to-back games, as if you want to give one to Smith and one to Koskinen. So obviously in net, even though he has struggled a bit, in net for the Jets, you got to give the Jets the advantage with Hellebuyck. But in the rest, the top gun for the Jets is, you know, things are not going well. I think ever since the coach gave it a bit to Scheifele, he hasn't been playing the same. He's frustrated. And the top guns there are not playing too well. They're in a funk right now, the Jets, while the others are flying right now. So I think it's going to be a closer series than what we've seen, you know, in the last few games that McDavid's been ripping it up against the Jets because, you know, in playoff, it's more physical and games are more tight, so there's not high-scoring game. But I do think that the Oilers should not have any problem, even though it's going to be close, to breeze by the Jets in the first round because, you know, like the confidence of the guys in the team, they've been playing better as of late, and it's awesome to see other guys contributing also. And, you know, I can't wait to see this series and stuff. Because I'm telling you, Bob, if the Oilers add a goalie, like, I'm not even talking about a Vasilevskiy, a guy like that, but look at Grubauer. Look at guys that are okay goaltending, but guys that could be number one. Volomov, and now next year, obviously, Fleury is going to be gone. And I know it might be too much money for the Oilers, but if they could only find a way to get a good number one that it could have for years to come that is really good, it would get that team to the top all the time because, you know, just the fact that they did this amazing run lately with Koskinen and Smith and Ness.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Wearing a Men's Warehouse outfit makes you confident, like you could do anything, so you dance like no one is watching, even though everyone is watching. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you interview like the job is already yours because it is. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you golf as if the rules don't apply to you because you're too well-dressed for rules. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit. At Men's Warehouse, get measured, get fitted, get hot, get confident in everything from tailored suits to underwear and all the stuff in between. Love the way you look at Men's Warehouse.
Shows you how big and how good of a team that they have because their weakness is a net.
George, here's where I tell you that Mike Smith has a .923 save percentage for the balance of the season, the third best winning percentage in the NHL, and Jack Campbell also has a .923 save percentage, and he, like Smith, had a great year. He won 17-2-2. But I get your points. They don't have a track record in the pipes. Now, I'm going to take you down a different path. Okay. 2006. The Edmonton Oilers, right at this time, we're on May 13th. On May 12th, you guys even the series against San Jose 2-2, and then traveled to San Jose. You won Game 5 and then shut them out in Game 6. When you guys were playing the Sharks, and if I recall, you didn't play the first game in that series in San Jose. You got into Game 2. When you guys played the first two games against San Jose, they had a good team. Like, they had a 50-win season. You know, Thornton won the MVP that year. Chichu scored 56. Did you think that you guys could still win the series even though you were down 2-0 to San Jose?
It was tough. You always think that you're going to do, but there was doubt. There was, of course, there's doubts and stuff, you know, right?
Yeah.
It's just that, but there's doubt, but sometimes when something happens in a series, it could change momentum. And that's what we needed. Like, sometimes when you play against a team that is better than you, you got to get that team comfortable. Because, you know, a 2-0 lead at 3, you know it's over. And then that's when we talk about that hit that Rafi did, and it changed everything. It changed everything, and then... Yeah, I'm a holic. And then all of a sudden, they became vulnerable, and then everybody took it to them physically, and they never recovered from it. Like, San Jose was never the same after that. And that's why hitting in the playoff is so important, because hard-nosed hockey for Edmonton, back in our days, was hard-nosed hockey, was hitting. Obviously, now it's not the same, because McDavid, like, his speed and his skill. The others are so skilled. It's not the same thing as this is what we had to do back then, because we didn't have a Draisaitl or a McDavid, right? So, and that's all we did, and that's why we ran team down, and that's why we got them, you know, tired and stuff. So now with the team, the way that they have and stuff, is just find a way to get McDavid free. But in 2006, man, that's why I think it was really entertaining to watch, because crashing and banging and stuff, and at home, you know, what gets the crowd more going in the playoff hockey is hitting. And when we're hitting, and then guys were, like, the fans were screaming when you're lining up somebody, you know, and then with the hit, and they'd be screaming and stuff, it gave us so much energy. It was amazing.
George, I remember in Game 3 in Edmonton, I know you remember this. This might have been the most nervous you ever were. In the second period of that game, you got a boarding major penalty and got taught. Did you not get a game misconduct on that play in Game 3? I forget who you hit. You smoked somebody and they tossed you out of the game, and your team killed that off, and they just scored two goals before that to jump out in front 2-1 in Game 3. How nervous were you on that boarding major?
Well, you're obviously always nervous, especially in the playoff when you get a penalty, but the thing is, which you wouldn't know this, in the playoffs, bad penalty kills you. That's why you lose. But aggressive penalty, your team always kills it up. That's
right.
The way it goes. So, you know, you hurt the other team and stuff. As long as, you know, hitting penalty, obviously, and I think it was a questionable call and stuff.
It was a major
penalty for being too big, which happened to me quite a lot. But still, I was quite confident that we're gonna kill it.
Who did you hit again? Do you remember?
Man, no, I don't remember. But I do remember I was kicked out of the game, and I couldn't believe it and stuff. And our coach was screaming and stuff at the referees. But
Kevin Lowe, I remember Kevin Lowe during the intermission. He was sour. Like,
yeah.
He was. It's like, you can't give him a major penalty. Anyways, the Oilers ended up killing it off, and he ended up winning that game in triple overtime. Sean Horkoff, after Jarrett Stoll got a hooking penalty late in the second overtime period, and you swung the series in a hurry. George, we love having you on the show. Thanks for your time, my man.
Anytime, brother. Thank you.
That is George LaRocque joining us on Oilers Now. And George has serious concerns about the Canadiens' health and their ability to match up against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think these two series, Winnipeg and Edmonton, And Montreal and Toronto, I think they're going to be closer than people think. Do you want to tell you there's an old saying in the car business, cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. Brentridge Ford is a 10-time President's Award winner for customer satisfaction. They are open 6 days a week. They follow all COVID protocols to protect both customers and their staff. Uncle Milk was telling me they're also low on used vehicle inventory, which makes now a perfect time for you to sell. Let's get the gang at Brentridge Ford to lend a hand. You can reach them at 1-877-477-3673 or visit Brentridge.com. And I hope I didn't steal your thunder here. Let's go to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel for Dennis and Jason Laliberte. Brendan Escott is back at the 630 Chet Studios.
1987, Glenn Anderson has five assists as the Oilers rally from a 3-1 second period deficit to beat the Red Wings 6-3 at Northlands. Kent Nilsson had two goals, two assists. Marc Messier, pair of goals as well. The Oilers win the Campbell Conference final 4-1.
Yeah, that was the Oilers' second line. Messier with Anderson and Kent Nilsson. I don't care what anybody says. The 86-87 team on paper was the best team. I know they went 7 against the Flyers. That's only because Slats wanted an extra home date for Peter Pocklington. That's why they lost Game 5. Up 3-1 heading to the third period. Has nothing to do with the Flyers' character and those sort of things that allowed them to get back in the game. What does Reed Wilkins have inside sports coming up tonight? Fluid show, Brendan?
No, I got the text message here. Half a second. Okay, you'll hear from Columbus Blue Jackets TV analyst Jody Shelley, host of the Athletic Hockey Show, Sean McIndoe, and AJHL Commissioner Ryan Bartoszek.
Okay, tomorrow, Dave Barr, the head coach for Team Canada's U18 squad, will get his thoughts on a bunch of the draft eligibles, Edmonton area product that willed his way to the National Hockey League. Elliot Freeman for NHL Hockey on Rogers. Tomorrow's Cam Moon Day, so we'll hear from Mooner as well. And we're working on one other guest as we speak as well. Okay, well, that's 2 days in a row, Chris. Ohio State fan. Got to get it going on. Here we go. Coming up today on 630 Chet Afternoons, senior UCP backbencher Todd Lowen announced he's stepping down as party caucus chair. He is calling on Premier Jason Kenney to resign, saying he no longer has the confidence in his leadership. What can Jason Kenney do to restore faith in his leadership from the public and, more importantly, within his own ranks? Conservative strategist and crisis management expert Elise Mills joins Jayla and I after a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Have a terrific Thursday. Talk to you tomorrow at noon.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.